Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. My name is Chris Reeves. I'm your host of the program, and this program is brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We would love to have you come. If it's been a while since you have come to worship God, we would invite you to do that. Tomorrow morning would be a great time to make that resolve to get up and put God first back in your life. It would be great for you. It would be great for your spouse if you're married, or for your children. We need God in our lives. We would invite you to come and worship with us in a simple New Testament way, where we just simply sing together. We pray together. We take the Lord's Supper together. We study from God's Word. We give back our contribution to God. And we would invite you to come and be with us as we do that. Or if you would like for me to come and study with you in your home, please contact us at the information at the close of this program. We would be glad to do that, to sit down with an open mind and an open Bible and study together. So many people live their lives without God, and they are reaping the fruit and the consequence of that. Don't be like those individuals. Put God back in your life and come be with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ here in Clarksville, Tennessee. This morning, we want to talk about the statement, saved by water. There are a lot of religious folks that sometimes will look at us and they'll say, you believe that water saves. When we preach and teach from the New Testament and we point out the importance of baptism, not in our own Church of Christ history or tradition. I'm not interested in anything like that. But what does the Word of God say? What does the New Testament teach? And so when we turn to the New Testament and we see all these baptism passages and the necessity of baptism, and we preach and teach that and we encourage that, sometimes somebody will say, well, you believe that water saves. And so this morning I want to answer the question, are we saved by water? And what we're going to find is that there's nothing in the physical water itself that saves, but the act of obedience to baptism, doing what God says when we are baptized in the way that God wants us baptized, that saves us. And Peter says that baptism does now also save you, 1 Peter 3:21. So in that sense, when we're obedient to God, it is a part of salvation. In fact, just this past week, there was someone who was baptized at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ building. They wanted to come and wash away their sins. And so that has happened just recently with us. And you can do that too. Have you ever thought about how much water is in the world and how much water God uses? It's really impressive. Let's talk this morning about God and His use of water. Man is about two-thirds water. About 60% of our weight is water. We require several gallons of water a day for ourselves and our daily activities. Billions of gallons of water are used during the spring and summertime to irrigate crops. It's very necessary for living. Another place where water is impressive is just the earth's surface. About three-quarters of the earth's surface is water. You think about those big oceans, the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean. Millions and millions of square miles of oceans and millions of cubic miles of water. Always used, but never used up. Water is most necessary for our environment and for our own physical living. Consider how much God uses water in His creation. Hundreds of thousands of gallons of water needed to grow one crop in 1 acre of land. About 100 gallons of water passes through a full-grown oak tree during its growing season. God put water as a necessary element into the physical realm. but he also put water as a necessity into the spiritual realm of life. And so we need to emphasize, as the New Testament does, the subject of baptism. Somebody says, well, you all believe in water salvation. This statement is often made by our religious friends, and they imply that they are saved by grace alone or faith alone without water baptism, and that when we teach water baptism, that we are trying to be saved by works. That's not the case. When we say that baptism is necessary for the remission of sins, we're simply saying what the New Testament teaches, that that is one among other things that one must do to be saved. One must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8:24. He must be willing to confess that with his mouth, Romans 10:9-10. He must be willing to repent of his sins, Acts 17:30-31. And he must also be willing, in addition to repent, and be baptized for the remission of his sins, Acts 2:38. And to believe and be baptized, Mark 16:16. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Just like we might say 2 and 2 equals 4. So we're not emphasizing baptism any more than what it is emphasized in the New Testament. The issue is, are we saved by God's plan? And if that plan includes water, among other things, such as belief and confession and repentance, then we must submit to that water. In the New Testament, in the book of Luke, in chapter 7, in talking about the baptism of John the Baptist, which was the baptism that the Jews of Jesus' ministry, his time, they were to submit to that baptism. After Jesus died, and after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, John's baptism was no longer used. But the baptism of Jesus' disciples in going into all the world, that was the baptism that was required after Acts chapter 2 in the rest of the New Testament all the way up until today. But in Luke chapter 7, the baptism that was required of the people that Jesus was preaching to was John's baptism, and some of them did not submit to that. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 29, and all the people, when they heard, and the publicans, these are tax collectors, they justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. When they were not baptized by John the Baptist, they rejected God's counsel, his will, his word, his desire, his teaching. When we reject baptism, we're not rejecting something that some preacher teaches or some church ordinance or church tradition. We're rejecting the very counsel of God. Baptism is not used by God to join a church. There are some religions today that teach that you're baptized to join a particular church. We don't join any church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when those individuals were baptized, God added them to the church. When we're baptized into Christ, the Lord automatically adds us to his church. We might go to a local congregation and identify with them and say, I want to work and worship here. But when we're baptized, the Lord automatically joins us to his body. Baptism is not to join a church. And baptism is not used by God to show that you're already saved. There are some people who teach that you're saved by faith alone, and then sometime later down the road you need to be baptized in order to obey God. Baptism is certainly in obedience to God, but baptism is for the purpose of washing away sins, Acts 22:16, and we still have those sins until they've been washed away in baptism. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And we still have our sins if we have not been baptized for the remission of our sins. So if baptism is not to join a church, and if baptism is not to show that you're already saved, then how does God use the water of baptism? That's what we want to study this morning. And what we're going to find is that God uses water in four different ways. God uses water in four different ways: for salvation from judgment, for separation from an old life, for restoration from death, spiritual death, and for purification from sin. Let's look at those this morning in our study, and let's open up our minds and our Bibles together. Number one, God uses water for salvation from His coming judgment. We're going to, in each one of these examples this morning, we're going to start with an Old Testament example and then move to the New Testament teaching on baptism. And we'll see that in both Testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we see examples and illustrations of these different uses of God using water. God uses water for salvation from coming judgment. He did that with regard to Noah and the ark. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse chapter 6 and chapter 7, Noah is told to build an ark, because there's going to be a flood on the earth. He doesn't get anybody on the ark except his own family, 8 souls. The others didn't want to listen. And when Noah and his family got on that ark, they were saved by water because it took them away from the death and the destruction of all the world that was underneath that flood, underneath that water. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 20 through 24, all living things died. That's what was underneath the water. Peter refers to this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, that it was a cataclysm. It was a cataclysmic event. It was a global flood of global proportions, and it destroyed the world that was then living. The world that then was, Peter says, perished. Well, Noah didn't. His family didn't, because he was in that ark. And that water acted as a separation between life and death. Life inside the ark and death underneath that water. So God uses water for salvation. Yes. Baptism saves. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21, where Peter talks about Noah and that flood. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, talking about God's long-suffering, and He's long-suffering today, friends, so that you can be baptized. Peter says that aforetime were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water, which also, talking about that water, which also, after a true likeness, doth now save you, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it. Peter is saying it. Baptism does also now save you. Baptism saves. It saves when we obey that act. That water washes away our sins, as we'll see later in the lesson. If water in the flood was used for the salvation of Noah and the separation of life and death, it should be no surprise then to find in the New Testament that baptism saves. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save you. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Somebody says, well, if baptism is so important, why didn't Jesus say, "And he that disbelieveth and is not baptized will be condemned"? Well, friend, think about it. If a person disbelieves, he's not going to be baptized anyway. Jesus didn't have to say, "He that believeth not and is not baptized shall be condemned." He didn't have to say, "and is not baptized." When a person does not believe, he's not going to be baptized. That's understood. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Are you going to believe and be baptized in order to be saved? In Hebrews chapter 11, going back to the ark, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning the things not seen as yet, talking about the flood, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He saved himself and his family. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And baptism, Peter says, does also now save you. So baptism, water is used by God for salvation from judgment. Number two, water is used by God for separation from an old life of sin. It's the dividing point. It's the separating point. And when you look back in the Old Testament, you'll find examples of that. The Israelites were separated from Egyptian bondage when they passed through the water of the Red Sea, Exodus 14. Again, the Israelites were separated from the wilderness wandering when they passed through the water of the Jordan River, Joshua chapter 3 and 4. Elijah was separated from his earthly life when he passed through the waters of the Jordan, 2 Kings 21:14. Elisha was separated from his life as Elijah's helper when he passed back over the Jordan. Gideon's army was separated at the waters of Herod. How they drank that water determined whether or not whether they would be in Gideon's army, Judges chapter 7. See, water is used as a dividing point or as a separating point in a person's life. And so when we come to the New Testament, it should be no surprise to find in the New Testament that baptism is the dividing point or the point of separation between the old life of sin and the new life of salvation. And where is that teaching? Well, it's found plainly by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6. If you'll turn with me there in Romans chapter 6, you'll find that baptism, the water of baptism, is a separation between the old life of sin and the new life being resurrected in Christ to walk in newness of life and live faithfully as a Christian. There were some Christians that apparently had gotten the idea that you can just continue in sin after you've been baptized. And so Paul wants to address this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, if you'll read with me together in your Bible. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We, and notice he includes himself. Paul himself was baptized. Jesus himself was baptized. He was not baptized because he was a sinner. Jesus was without sin. But in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15, we're told that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. That act of baptism was to show that he was obedient to God. And that's setting the example of obedience for everyone thereafter. Now, we do have sin in our life, so we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. But even Jesus was baptized, and Paul was baptized. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So he says here in Romans 6 and verse 2, he had been baptized himself. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once, But the life that he liveth unto God. Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Baptism is the dividing point between that old life of living in sin and that new life, being a new Christian, being a new creature in Christ, new attitudes, new dispositions, new friendships, new acquaintances. And baptism is that dividing point. Notice in verse 4 that Paul says, we were buried therefore with him through baptism. Baptism is a burial. The word baptism literally means to dip or to immerse. There are people who will sprinkle a little water on somebody and call it baptism. That's not Bible baptism. Baptism is immersion in water. And it's the dividing point between that old man and old life of sin and that new man, that new life in Christ. It's a separation. It's a dividing point. Number 3, God uses water for restoration, to bring somebody back from death. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a man named Naaman. He was captain of the army of Syria, and he had leprosy. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, we are told about that story. And Elisha comes to him and tells him how he can have that leprosy removed if he will dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman thought that that wasn't necessary. He thought that the prophet would come and wave his hand over him. And he thought maybe he could use another river, But Elisha said, you need to dip 7 times in the Jordan. And when he did that, 2 Kings 5:14, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. We have to do what God's word says. And when we do exactly what God's word says, God's promise will come about just like it says. And his flesh came again like an under the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman's skin was restored after washing in the Jordan River. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed the blind man. He told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, but the blind man's sight was restored after washing, not before. It should be no surprise then to find in the New Testament that the act of baptism puts us into a new restored relationship. This is how we are born again, John 3 and verse 5. We are baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. We are circumcised with spiritual circumcision. That old life is cut off, and now we are living the new life. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul writes, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Coming back from that life of sin and death, spiritual death. And notice in Colossians 2 and verse 12, Paul writes, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. Being buried with him in baptism and being raised is the working of God. It's not something we're doing. It's not a work that we are doing to save ourselves. It's the working of God. We are baptized into the name, the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 19. We are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It's a new, restored relationship. And it's a beautiful thing to have. And then last of all, God uses water for purification and cleansing from sin. In the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 19, the unclean Israelites could be purified and cleansed with the water of purification. Water was used under the old law for certain purification acts. It should be no surprise to find in the New Testament that water again, the water of baptism, purifies and makes clean by washing. Ananias told Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul, he said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. Baptism washes away our sins. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the washing of water with the word, that's how someone becomes a member of the Lord's church. The washing of purification, Hebrews 10 and verse 22. We need to be baptized into Christ, friends. God uses water. He uses water so much so in the physical realm, the human body, the oceans, many other places that we can see in the physical realm. And He uses water for the right spiritual relationship that we are to have with Him. God uses water for salvation from judgment. God uses water for separation from the old life. God uses water for restoration from death. God uses water for purification and cleansing from sin. Will you submit to the baptism of Jesus Christ? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, when Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius, he comes down to the end of that sermon and he commands them to be baptized. Baptism is not an option. Baptism is not just something that we may or may not do and it's fine. Peter said to them in Acts 10:47, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a command. And we would all do well to submit to that command. We have no right to forbid the water of baptism to anyone who is in need of it. We don't need to tell someone, "You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to worry about that." It needs to be the opposite, friends. If these things are commands, we need to be encouraging people to be doing what God wants them to do. In every case of baptism in the New Testament, it was always those who were old enough to hear and believe and repent and confess and be baptized. There was no infant baptism in the New Testament. There's not one case of infant baptism in the New Testament. There's not one case of sprinkling or pouring water on someone to be baptized. Not one. It's always immersion. It's always someone who is old enough to hear and believe and obey. And it's always for the remission of sins. No one was ever told to be baptized to join a church or to show that you're already saved. The eunuch said in Acts 8:36-39, "Here is water. What does hinder me?" We don't want you to be hindered, friend. We want you to submit to that water of baptism. God uses water. Let Him use it to save you, to separate you, to restore you, and to purify you today. We hope that you'll have a good day, and thank you for joining us on the Let the Bible Speak program.